All right, what's up, everybody? Great to see you all. Welcome to Pine Lake. I want to welcome all the campuses, Madison, Clinton, Oxford, Starkville, the Res, those of you that might be joining us online as well. So grateful for all y'all, and it's so great to be back. I think the last time I had the opportunity to teach, I was unpacking the genealogies of Jesus back before Christmas, so it's been a while. And I know it's already like spring break, but can I say Happy New Year? Is it too late for me to do that? It's good to be back with you this year, and happy March Madness to all of you. My team plays today in the second round. They got past the first round this year. I'm a Kentucky Wildcat fan, born and raised there. It was this weekend last year that I show up, and these guys had a St. Peter's University sweatshirt waiting for me. They beat us. They were a 15 seed, a big upset. So this year is a little bit better. But man, I love y'all, and I love the opportunity to show up from time to time and just to hang together and worship together and to dive into God's word together as well. You know, living in this age of incredible technology, we know more than ever what it means to sync up, right? That revolving little wheel that goes on all the time around and around allows us to sync up to our Bluetooth. We sync up to our Dropbox account, to our PlayStation, to our Switch, our calendars, our social media feeds, our Wi-Fi connection at the local Starbucks. We know how to sync up. We know how to connect. But did you know that we are created with Bluetooth connectivity with heaven? Yeah, our Creator built that into us, hardwired us with the capability to sync up with Him. In fact, to be connected to us is God's number one passion. He's always longed for relationship with people like us. And I know sometimes we can all feel like, yeah, you know, I believe in God, but I honestly don't feel real close to Him right now. I can't feel His presence. I don't know, maybe I'm like in a dead zone, or I don't have a very good, you know, service. Whatever, it just seems like we're a million miles away from each other. Have you been there? Yeah, me too. Now listen, God never changes. He's not glitchy. He doesn't have unreliable network service. Now I sure can be glitchy. So I'm learning that there are some things that you and I can do to reestablish our connectivity with God, all kinds of things, different intentional practices that keep us kind of synced up with Him, such as allowing God to speak to us through His Word. And there are all kinds of Bible reading programs. Hopefully you're on one of those this year. And the point is not to get through the Bible. The point is to get the Word of God through us, right? To get to know Him. And when we do that, His Word becomes like CPR for our soul. It becomes His GPS for our life, leading us to pathways of freedom as we stay synced up with Him. Another way is prayer. I mean, just talking to God. You know, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody when you never, ever communicate. So God invites us to talk to Him, just to come to Him as we are with our own voice, just unpack our hearts in this ongoing, throughout the day, conversation with Him. And as we talk and as we listen, it keeps our heart synced up with Him. So there are lots of different ways to stay connected. But today I want to talk about a practice that I have found that regularly keeps my heart connected to Him. And that's the practice of worship. And what's cool about these three things I just mentioned is those are things that we always do when we come together and celebrate in this place. We always open up God's Word and learn together. We get encouraged together. We get challenged together. We get inspired together. We get comforted together through God's Word. And we pray together every time we show up, and not just like in the big room, but I've seen you all huddled up in lobbies and parking lots and in classrooms just praying for each other. And we worship God together. You know, I love worship music. I love music in general. On my XM radio on my truck is programmed to a variety of music, from worship music to old school country to smooth jazz to 70s rock to R&B to current pop. I got them all. I just like all kinds of music. And one of my favorite pathways to sync up my heart with God is through worship. Now, let me just say that I believe that worship is much more than just singing. Worship is actually a lifestyle. I love the way the Message puts Romans chapter 12 when it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, going to school, walking around kind of life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So worship is a lifestyle. We take our ordinary sleeping, eating, going to work, going to school, hanging out with friends kind of life, and we just offer it up greatly to God every day. And whatever he wants to do in and through us, we're saying, God, that's my worship today. I just want to love you and I want to love people as I move through my day to day. That's worship. But there really is something significant. I find it even life-changing. When we come regularly into environments like this, and we just worship God together, and we sing together, and we stand in awe together, and we engage together, and we pour out our hearts together, and we lift up our hands together, and we just connect with God together. And while we can worship God in many more ways, just through music and song and singing, there is something pretty unique and engaging about musical worship that unbolts our hearts and reaches places within us like few things can. Now, maybe you're thinking about right now, well, not me. Listen, bro, I'm not a musical person at all. My response is, really? Now, you may never sell out arenas like Taylor Swift. You may never be asked to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl like Chris Stapleton, but you are a musical person. You really are. All of us are. Have you ever watched a movie without the soundtrack? I was on a plane trying to watch a movie recently, and I didn't have my AirPods with me. So I literally just put the movie on my phone and watched it with the closed captioning with no musical score at all. It's awful. It's like decaf coffee. It's like Oreos without the creamy white stuff in them. It's almost unbearable because it's the music that gives the movie life. It's the music that stirs our emotion deep within us. That's because music has been hardwired within us. God put it there. Our bodies are literally full of music waves. It's in our genes. It's in our chromosomes. It's holding us together. It's why science has proven over and over again throughout the centuries how powerful the healing properties of music are. Music therapy is used in recovery. It's used in pain management, anxiety, and depression management. Music can lower your blood pressure, change your metabolic rate. Music reduces muscle tension, increases your endorphin levels, improves cognitive skills, on and on and on it goes because it's been hardwired within us by our Creator. And it's one of the primary ways that God invites us to sync up with Him, to open our hearts with humility, with awe, and with affection. And just remember how great and good and gracious He is, and to remember our appropriate smallness, and to remember His vastness, and to let all of us sync up with all of Him. A couple of friends of mine wrote a little book a while back called Holy Roar that walks through seven Hebrew words that are used for the word praise in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I loved learning about these, and not so like I can seem smarter because I now know some Hebrew words. By the way, the only D I ever got in 18 years of school was in Hebrew. That's a proud moment for a pastor. But I love learning these Hebrew words because they help me understand the different ways that you and I can sync up our heart with God through worship. So I just want to kind of fly through these as some practical ways that we could use to sync up our heart with heaven when we all come together. And then we're going to have a chance to practice all these at the very end of the service today. By the way, you can practice these anytime. When you're singing in the shower or you're fishing in a boat or you're driving your car. The first word is this. The Hebrew word is yadal, which is the hands of praise, which means to revere or worship with extended hands. To hold out the hands. Now, don't do this one while you're driving, but it's used 111 times in Scripture as a way of expressing reverence, excitement, awe, and surrender for all that God is. For instance, Psalm 67, verse 3 says, may all the people yadal you, praise you. May all the people yadal you. Now, I know for some of us, especially those who are more introverted, or maybe you grew up in a more subdued type of church environment, or maybe you're brand new to all this. We look around and we see people with their hands raised in worship, and you might start thinking, these are not my people. This is weird. This is way too emotional. They're getting too swept up in the moment. I mean, what does that even mean? But think about it. Lifting our hands is a pretty natural expression when we're excited or we're in awe. We're going to see it all the way through March Madness. Upsets and buzzer beaters. Instinctively, people just throw their hands up, jumping up and down. When your kid scores a goal on the soccer field or there's a moving encore at a concert, you're standing on top of a mountain after a long hike. I mean, my team hits a buzzer beater and I'm running through the living room going, oh, oh. And this is God. the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful. He knows every star, every grain of sand, numbered every hair on your head, the inventor of chlorophyll and photosynthesis, the maker of DNA, our God who sculpted the canyons, could stand ankle deep, stand in the depths of the ocean, still only be ankle deep. He could play marbles with the planets if he wanted to. This is the one who made me, chased me, saved me, and embraced me in my brokenness. So I will worship. Now, it's never to draw attention to yourself. It's simply an honest expression in worship that says, yes, yes, I agree. God, you are bigger than it all. I'm in awe of you. I'm amazed by you. I'm giving you all the reverence and adoration I can in this moment, God. I just surrender my heart to you. Then there's a second word, halal, which means the fools of praise, means to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Psalm 149, verse 3 says, let them halal his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. This is the kind of way in worship where our attitude isn't casual. We're not super buttoned up. We're just grateful. We're ready to celebrate what God has done. And we may dance, we may clap, we may make music. We might look like a fool, but we were created to rave, shine, celebrate, halal. One of my favorite nights of the year where I see this firsthand is a night that we have called in the churches that I serve, a night to remember. In fact, I've been involved over 25 years now in churches that throw proms for special needs students in our community. It's a great night, and it's one of those nights where, man, it's just special. It really is a night to remember. Tuxes are donated and prom dresses are donated and there's hair and makeup artists there and a red carpet rolled out and limo drives and paparazzi flashing flashbulbs as people walk the red carpet. I mean, these special needs students are made to feel like VIPs for the night, and we've had thousands of people go through it. Thousands of volunteers show up every time, and it's so cool to see everybody out there on the dance floor together. And hardly anybody out there could be categorized as a good dancer. And even though it's not like the DJ is, you know, like spinning worship music, it's still worship. It's all these people willing to be clamorously foolish just to love other people, to express God's heart toward them, to show the extravagant love of God to those who can sometimes feel left out. And when every time I watch it, there's this connection. It's like heaven and earth syncing up. And I think God loves that celebration. Then there's the word zomar, the music of praise, to make music, to celebrate in song and dance, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. David, right? Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing zamar to you. Now, I know that not all of us play an instrument. I play a little guitar, and by a little, I mean a little. The first song I ever learned to play was Wasting Away Again in Margaritaville. Another proud moment for a pastor, but it had three chords and I could figure it out. But I'm so blown away and so grateful for the talented musicians that practice their craft. I mean, these folks that lead us every week, they practice. They learn new stuff. And then they volunteer their time every week in churches like this just to zamar. That's what they're doing. And when the band cranks it up, it's not showtime. It's not performance. One of the things I love most about Pine Lake through the years is that nobody I've ever seen take this stage wants the spotlight. They just want to throw a floodlight on God and lead us all in worship. I watched a friend play drums at a church a few weeks ago, and I know his story. Guy's had a rough life, all kinds of addiction, jail time. He's been clean for a few years now, and the dude is a great drummer. When it got to a certain part in the song, I was just watching him. His intensity just picks up. And tears start rolling down his face because the lyrics of the song matched his story. And I thought, man, that's zamar right there. And again, you might be thinking, well, dude, listen, I can't play the drums. I can't play the guitar. I can't play the piano. I don't even play the radio very well. And I'm not a singer either. I had a buddy in Kentucky told me one time, I said, bro, I hear you, but man, I'm a jailhouse singer. I said, what's that? He goes, I'm behind a few bars and can't find the key. So that's so stupid. Yes, you are. And yes, you are. Like all of creation, all of us have been wired up with this internal song. I mean, just watch a little kid. They sing and they dance, they clap, they run around. Nobody told them to, and they think they sound great because it's been hardwired within us. We were made in the image of God. So for a Christ follower, singing to God really isn't an option. It's a directive. Yes. It's what we were made for. And you go, yeah, but listen, bro, I really am. I'm a terrible singer. Listen, he transposes it on the way up. I've got this theory that there's going to be a huge refrigerator door in heaven. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all get, you know, your kids, your grandkids, they bring home quote-unquote art projects from school, and they give it to you as a gift, and it's not really very good, but what do you do with it? Stick it on the refrigerator door, right? You go, my kid did that, my kid. I think when we get to heaven, all those terrible songs we thought we sang, we're going to show up, there's going to be a huge refrigerator door. God said, you did that. Yeah, when you were 56 years old and you did that. You're my kid. People say you weren't very good, but you're my kid. I love this. So sing. Even though you will never get a four-chair turn on the voice, sing, because you'll turn to one chair that really matters. Then there's a tadao, the expectation of praise. I love this one. It's an extension of the hand, thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving for things not yet received. This is syncing up with God to say, God, I trust you. I believe that you have the best for me, even though I can't see it right now. And even in the hardest times, I want to stay connected with you. And I just want to offer up a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving for things I have not yet received, circumstances that have not yet changed, because I believe you're good. Psalm 56 says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render, and here's the word, tadao to you. David wrote that psalm while he was on run from a lunatic king. He was hiding in caves every day for his life. When he didn't know how it was all going to turn out, when he didn't know what would happen down the road, he said, even in this, I'm just going to say, God, I praise you for who you are, and I trust you for whatever's coming my way. I may have told you about one of my favorite people of all time. Her name is Fanny Hamilton. Fanny served at our church in Kentucky when I was serving there, and she was 85 years old and worked in our high school ministry. She was awesome. I mean, our high school students loved Fanny. And she had a stroke, and it paralyzed the right side of her body, and it took her a long time to get ready for church. Someone had to come over and help her get ready, but she was always there. And I was leading worship one weekend, and I looked down, and it was a section right over here where she would sit with all the high school students. And we're standing for worship, and I saw Fanny right in the middle of all these high school students, middle of a song, reach over with her left hand and grab her paralyzed arm, just lift it up like that, as if to say, God, even in this, I just praise you. Some of you are there right now. You're going through chemo. You're grieving a loss, breakup, hard financial hit. Got a prodigal kid. Maybe you're having a tough time with your folks or somebody at school. You got a bunch of fear about the future. Maybe you can do like Fanny did. Maybe you could do what David did. Say, God, I put my trust in you. I will not be afraid. I will render tadao to you. Then there's barak, which is the posture of praise. It means to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration, to praise, to salute, to thank. Psalm 103 uses the word, barak the Lord my soul. All my inmost being, barak his holy name. Barak the Lord my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now this word barak is not so much of a physical external posture as it is an internal posture. Of a humble saying, this is not about me. On my knees, I'm down in my heart. It's keeping your eyes on the greatness and the goodness of God. Now again, from my own experience, sometimes, we can approach worship as consumers. Someone will ask, well, how was church today? We'll say, well, it's all right. Oh, it's pretty good. Oh, it's great. Or it was boring. I'll give it a 6, maybe a 7, maybe a 5. Is that bald guy again? And on top of that, we didn't sing any of the songs I like. And that one song, oh, it was so loud. I've discovered when that happens in me, and sometimes it still does, then my focus is totally off of God. And it really does become all about my experience and my preferences and my wants and my needs and my comfort level and my tastes. And I begin to approach worship as a consumer rather than someone who comes to be consumed. And that shift of it's not about me, that I have to still continually surrender, it's changing me. It's been getting my eyes off of me and onto the appropriate object of worship. Then there's the Hebrew word tehillah, which means a hymn, a song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song. I love old songs. I grew up in church, so some of those old hymns still resonate in me, and I especially love it when people take like old songs and dress them up in new clothes, like a new kind of rhythm to them or something. And I love new songs too. A few weeks ago, one of the churches I teach at, they did a brand new song, and somebody on our team wrote it. And I went up to him after the service and said, "Dude, you guys wrote that? That song was amazing." So I'm so grateful for people that can write songs, aren't you? I mean, sometimes the lyrics articulate exactly what your heart wants to say, like the one we sang today. Shake up the ground of all my traditions. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Somebody wrote that. David was a songwriter. He wrote the book of Psalms. It's kind of a collection of some of the songs he wrote. He says this in Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of tehillah, praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. And maybe some of you are like songwriters. Maybe you could write a tehillah. Maybe you got one of those rolling around the inside of you, just making up a little melody while you're on the treadmill or you're singing a lullaby to a sleepy toddler. For my daughter Jody, it usually comes out in the form of a spoken word. Her tehillah sounds a whole more like a rap. For instance, a while back she wrote this: "It's under my skin, on the tip of my tongue, and bursting within. The beat of my heart pounds like a cymbal. It races and paces, keeping just the right tempo, like I was made to worship, made to sing a new song, made in his image for his glory all along. That every strand of DNA, every strand of hair gone gray, every breath that breaks away, every ounce my body weighs, will not let the music stay. This melody can't be kept at bay. My lungs swell up and rush to say, my God, you are worthy. At your feet I lay, all of me. Mind, strength, and soul, I offer my praise, surrender control. My vocal cords tremble, my hands stretch to the sky. I dance, shout, clap, applaud, and amplify your name, your fame, your splendor, your renown, your brightness, your rightness. I humbly fall down before the rocks cry out, I will make a sound. As your prized creation, my worship abounds. There is a song in me." And there's a song in you too. Lastly, there's the shabak. That's the shout of praise. It means to address in a loud tone, to shout, to commend glory and triumph. Psalm 145, "One generation will shabak, shout your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." We get to be a part of shouting God's goodness and love from one generation to the next. As we engage and connect and sync up our hearts with God and worship together, we carry that heart into our world. And our lives become like this anthem that resounds. You know, one of the coolest things about worship is that when we do it, not only do we get to do it together, but did you know we join all of creation? Everything in creation was made to give God praise. There's not only music in here. There's not only music in here, there's music out there. I've been doing some fascinating reading lately about how there's music in space, cosmic overtones everywhere. Everything in our universe, all of creation is vibrating and radiating these musical tones or waves. Now, most of these tones we can't hear because our ears aren't able to, but science shows that we are literally being bombarded with music constantly. In other words, all creation is singing. For instance, they have discovered this black hole sitting out there in space that plays this B flat tone 57 octaves lower than any tone the human ear can hear, just out there, oh, just kind of setting the key in space. You ever heard of this guy named Pythagoras? Now, if you took geometry in school, you kind of remember him as like Mr. Triangle, did the hypotenuse of a triangle guy. He was a Greek scientist and a mathematician and a philosopher. And an astronomer who lived around 500 BC. who, along with a secret society of other fellow scientists and mathematicians, spent time working out what's come to be known as the math of music. They studied math found in nature. And there was this intriguing scientist, just let me nerd out for a little bit. It began to understand that there was a celestial harmony of the solar system, that they thought the planets, the way they were arranged, would actually be singing. So scientists and philosophers of the ancient world, like Pythagoras and guys like Copernicus and Galileo and Cicero, began to contemplate this music of the spheres. And a brilliant guy who lived in like 1600s, name was Johann Kepler, he began to do the math. He calculated that if each planet revolved around the sun at a certain harmonic distance, then the solar system would basically be arranged like this giant musical instrument creating a kind of a cosmic symphony. His measurements revealed these ever-changing chords and harmonies as the planets would move in their orbits. And what's so cool about this is that NASA probes and satellites have picked up all these electromagnetic vibrations that make music, much like the vibration on a string when it's plucked on a musical instrument. And today, modern scientists agree with Pythagoras and Kepler that there really is this music of the spheres. And what's really cool to me, one of the things that propelled guys like Kepler would do his research was a passage found in the book of Job where God asked Job, were you there at the creation of the world when the heavenly bodies sang in harmony? You may have heard of Bernie Krause. He's a musician, a longtime sound engineer. He spends most of his days out in the wild. His work's been featured on National Geographic, Discovery Channel and stuff. He records sound of wolves and whales and cracking ice, just sounds of nature, really cool. I recently listened to a recording of his where he put some high-tech equipment inside of a cottonwood tree and recorded the exploding sap. It was unbelievable. You think we got some good drummers here? This was like a world-class percussion plant. The tree on the inside was popping perfectly in time with this incredibly sophisticated rhythm. That was amazing stuff. It's such a cool listen. The point of all this fascinating stuff is this. All creation is making music in praise of its creator. You know, you might hit the beaches in the Gulf, like on spring break. I love going to the ocean. Our family grew up, vacation time was Holden Beach, North Carolina, then living on the West Coast the past 7 years out in Ventura, California. And every time I would go to the beach, I think of this verse in Psalm 93. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. We moved recently back to Kentucky to help with family. And there are acres and acres of crops and beautiful, green, lush horse farm fields. I think of this verse, let the heavens be glad, the earth rejoice, let the sea and everything in it shout its praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise. And the rivers, the rivers join in as well. Psalm 98, let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. And the snow-covered mountains join in too, Isaiah 55. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Listen to the sky. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And you know what? The stars do a pretty stellar job. Waterfalls do a spectacular job. There are over 600 species of crickets and beetles chirping their praise. Lions roar and hummingbirds hum, and mountains and beaches and prairies and field and rain and snowfall all join in. And if all creation is singing God's praise, then maybe, just maybe, as his most prized creation, we ought to be the loudest. We ought to be the most passionate. We are his rescued sons and daughters, created in his image to connect our soul, to sync up our soul with the lover of our soul. My buddy T.D. Oakes, worship leader, I love what he wrote. He said, in a loud world of dissonance, worship is our opportunity to retune our lives to Christ. It's in worship that we hear again the clear tone of God, remember his goodness, his love, and adjust our lives to match him. It's just like tuning an instrument or an orchestra. You need a key note or tone to tune to for everything to match up and allow us to play together. And that's what worship does. It slows us down, focuses our hearts and our lives on the ultimate key note, our Creator, God, Father, and Savior. Gang, there's music out there. There's music in here. And there's music in here. So I'm going to invite you right now to sync up your heart with heaven. I want to invite all of us at every one of our campuses, even those of you that are online right now, to stand to your feet just right now. And we're going to connect our heart to the heart of God. We're going to take some extended time to do that. And as we're singing this song, I pray it'll radiate in your heart. I pray these will be the words that you want to say. It's a wonderful moment. And anytime as we're singing, you feel led to come down the front and pray with somebody, that'd be an appropriate time to do that. We have some great people down front at all the campuses. Just make your way down front. But let's just sync up our hearts with heaven right now. Let me pray. Father, so grateful for just who you are. And God, right now, we just want to bring all of who we are to connect with all of who you are. God, these moments are not about us. These moments are all about you and us connecting with you. Just telling you how we feel about you. Even bringing you questions and doubts. For some of us, God, we will throw our hand in the air. Some of us may kneel. Some of us may kind of move and dance in our place. Some of us, God, we may just do like Fanny and just throw up a question going, God, I don't get this. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I praise you and I trust you. God, I pray that this moment be a significant moment for you, that we would bring a smile to your face, that your kids are doing something together just because of who you are. So Father, we just offer this up to you, and I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.